Good morning. I consider it a great privilege and honor to be your guest speaker this morning. You may not recognize me. That's because I am Gideon, the son of Joash, the family of the Abizites. And I've been asked to be your guest speaker this morning. And I have to tell you, it's a lot different over here than it is in Palestine. You got these four-wheeled chariots running around everywhere without any horses. And you also have, everybody has these magic tablets that light up and change constantly. They walk around with these tablets in front of them all the time. I'm not used to that from where I come from. But I came today to speak to you, to tell you about some amazing things that happened to me the past few weeks. And you may not know much about me, but there are some who say I'm a great warrior. And it's true that I've always fought against the enemies of Israel. But there was a time that I was little more than a flea on the back of a dog of a nation called the Midianites. That's what they considered me. And I'm ashamed to admit now that I was awfully reluctant when it came to making a stand. You see, where I come from, the Midianites, our arch enemies, had came and had they had been raiding our land for several years. They took what they wished, and they killed whoever they wanted to kill. And my one consolation in the whole encounter was that I was able to pay them back in part for the pain that they had caused my great nation. But they were a powerful and vicious people, and many of our people fled to hide in the mountains, in the hills, and even in holes in the ground. When the angel of the Lord found me, that's right, the angel of the Lord found me, and that's what I was doing. I was hiding. It was the only thing I knew to do. I was in my father's wine press threshing wheat, hoping that the Midianites would not find me and take away what little food I could supply for my family. Thankfully, Brother Brandon here has prepared a slideshow for you to help with my presentation this morning. I am eternally grateful for him and his talents. It was there that the angel of the Lord found me. And he said to me, believe it or not, he said to me, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." And I had never been in a battle before. He told me that I had been chosen by God to deliver Israel from their enemies. And he said, "God will be with you, and together you will crush the might of the Midians in a single night." I have to ask you this morning, have you ever seen an angel? Has anyone here seen an angel? I hadn't either. I had never seen an angel before. I had no idea who this man was that came to me when I was in my father's wine press. But what he told me and the way in which he spoke it, it spoke to my heart and I wanted it to be true. I had no idea whether it came from God or not. I didn't know whether to trust him. I had to be so cautious with all our enemies around. That's why I was in the wine press threshing wheat. If the Midianites saw me out in open threshing wheat, they would have come and stole what little bit of grain I had. I had to be so cautious. So I told this man that claimed to be an angel of God that I would need a sign. But first, though, I wanted to make an offering to God. I always tried to keep my priorities straight. I asked him if he would stay until I returned. And he said he would. So I returned to my home and I took some of the meat of a young goat and placed it in the pot to cook. And I took an ephah of flour. I don't know what you use to measure flour over here. We use ephahs over in the Promised Land. And I made some unleavened bread. It's our tradition. And once the meat was cooked, I took it and put it in a basket along with bread and took the pot filled with broth from the young goat and returned to this angel who was standing in the field beside an oak tree. I offered him the food. But he said I should pour the broth out and then place the basket with my offering on a nearby rock. And would you believe what happened? I stepped back from the offering and the angel took his staff. He touched the tip of the staff to the basket and it ignited into flames and it consumed the entire offering. If I could create fire that easy, that would be so helpful. But he accepted that offering that I offered. And as soon as I looked up from the flames, the angel had disappeared. Can you believe that? There we are out in this field, an open field, and there's a tree that we're by, and the flames consume this offering, and I look around, he's gone. I don't know where he went. But I knew I had seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And I had heard it said that no one who had ever seen an angel of the Lord face to face had ever lived. And I said, "Oh, Lord Yahweh, I have seen your angel face to face." That was the only thing I could think of to say. Not only did that amazing thing just happen, but immediately I heard the voice of God speak to me. He said, "Peace. Do not be afraid, Gideon. You will not die." Peace? Peace? We had not known peace in a very long time. I was not even sure what that could mean. See, I'm still kind of new to this, what we call this, PowerPoint. Is that what it's called? I had not known peace for a very long time. Midianites had been ravaging our tribes for years. And I wasn't even sure what that could mean. So I built an altar there unto God, and I called it Yahweh Shalom, or the God of Peace. But I was still troubled. My doubts were probably showing quite a bit when the angel was speaking to me. When he said, "The Lord is with you," I wanted to shout back, but I managed to peacefully say, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." Hand of Midian. And I was right. God had abandoned us. But I was also wrong in this matter, because God still cared for us. I was right that He had turned His face from us. He had lifted His hand of protection from over us and delivered us into the hands of our enemies because of the sinfulness of my people. We had worshipped other gods and offered sacrifices and prayers in their names, and God, Jehovah God, was furious. And it's not that we intended to anger God. We still offered prayers and sacrifices to Him also. But we figured, if one God is good enough, maybe some more would be better. And so all across the land there were altars and idols, and there were prayers and sacrifices made in the names of pagan gods. And God was not pleased. Even in my father's field there was an altar that the villagers frequently offered their sacrifices at, an altar to Baal. And around the altar there were Asherah poles placed there in honor of the goddess of fertility. And God told me that when He spoke to me that day, He said, "Tear down that altar and build for me a proper altar in its place. Go into your father's herd and take the second bull and slaughter and offer it as a sacrifice on my altar. Then cut down the Asherah poles and use them for wood to burn in the sacrifice." And that's what I did at night, of course, because I was afraid. I had to do it at night while everybody in the village was asleep. I didn't want anyone to know that I had destroyed this altar and cut down the Asherah poles and used them for kindling, because I knew they would seek to kill me if they knew that I did it. So we snuck in at night. I got 10 of my best men with me to help, and we tore down the altar and built a proper altar to Jehovah. We didn't cut the stones with tools. We found the proper stones and made the proper altar to Jehovah. You know, I was even a little bit afraid of my father's household. There were some in my father's household that I think would have harmed me if they knew it was me tearing down this altar. Like I said, at that time in my life, I did not have a lot of confidence. But it did me no good to do it under the cover of darkness. When the village awoke the next morning, they found the altar and the poles destroyed, and the sacrifice I had made placed on my own altar, and they were furious. The town was in an uproar. They sought to find out who had done this, and soon discovered that it had been me, Gideon. They came to my father's house where I had hidden and tried to get me to come out. But dear old dad, that I was afraid of, actually he made a stand with me. I was so proud of him. He said, when the village came to his house, he said, "Who is Baal that you need to defend his honor? Will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him?" Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. He threatened to put these people to death if they kept continuing. I couldn't believe it. I was amazed my father was able to withstand this. And he said, if he is a god, Baal, let him contend for himself because someone has torn down his altar. Let Baal contend against me, he said, Gideon, because I had torn down his altar. He made a good point, I thought. If Baal was this powerful god that we were worshiping and making sacrifices to, couldn't he strike me dead if he was displeased with me tearing down his altar? But thankfully, everybody in the village saw the logic of their foolishness. And they were ashamed and realized that Baal was just made up. Baal was not going to do anything about the altar. So they left me alone. And from that day on, they gave me a new name, Jerubbabel, which means let Baal contend with him. It wasn't long after that that the Midianites returned to our land to ravage our crops and steal from our homes. They came with their Amalekites, which are even worse, with people from the eastern tribes, and they settled in the valley of Jezreel, just down the road. Those who dared to look down into their camp said that the Midianite forces were as numerous as a horde of locusts. If you have never experienced a horde of locusts, let me tell you, it is a scary sight. They blot out the sun. You can hear them coming for miles and miles. And this was what the Midianite army was like. Said their camels could not be counted. It was like the sand on the seashore. And those who tried to count the number seemed to agree that there were at least 100,000, maybe 120,000 armed men in their camp. God had said to me earlier at the threshing floor in my father's wine press when he spoke to me that day, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? So I was thinking about that when I heard about this Midianite army. And I thought it was time to make a stand. I decided to make a stand. I blew my trumpet and called all the people together. People came running from the fields and out of their houses. And when they came to the village, I told them what God had told me. I said, it is time for us to rise and throw off the shackles of the Midianite army and go to war. We sent out messengers to the far reaches of the tribe of Manasseh and also the tribes of Asher, Naphtali, and Zebulun. And within a few short days, men began to arrive at our village. And ultimately, 32,000 men came and camped around my home. 32,000 men had come to because of my request. Can you believe it? They were all volunteers. We didn't even institute a draft. We just asked them to show up and they showed up. 32,000 men had come to be led into battle with me as their leader. 32,000 against 120,000. Still didn't have very much confidence. So I looked up to God and I wanted some reassurance. As I've mentioned many times before, it took a while for me to gain the confidence that I needed to be a valiant warrior that God said I was. But I wanted a sign. I wanted something that couldn't be mistaken. Something that there was no doubt was a sign from God. If He truly wanted me to go into battle with these 32,000 men, we were outnumbered 4-1. I needed a sign to prove that it was truly His will. And I had decided in my mind just the test that would prove it was indeed His will. When I was younger, I had noticed at my father's wine press, in the morning, the floor glistened with the dew of the night. The stones were cool, and the moisture would show up as a dew in the morning. And so I said to God, I told him I didn't want him to be angry, but if it was His will to send us into battle with this size of force against that great of a force, I want to put a fleece from my flocks on the floor of the wine press. And if it is your will, I want him to leave the floor dry to make the fleece damp. And so I placed the fleece on the floor and I went to bed. And when I got up the next morning, what do you think I found? That's right. The fleece was wet enough. It wasn't just damp. It wasn't just cool to the touch. It was wet enough that I could wring moisture out of it. I could wring enough water to put it in a bowl, is how wet it was. And the floor was not dry, was not just partially dry, it was completely dry. Not a little bit of moisture, it was dusty, parched, dry. And the fleece was not a little bit damp. God had spoken. He had spoken to me. I couldn't believe it. He was calling me to go to war. But still, I only had 32,000 men against 120,000. That's hardly enough army that would overwhelm the Midianites. What if I misunderstood God in this sign He gave me with the fleece? What if I had mistakenly created this test that maybe it happened naturally? I don't know. Maybe it could have happened by a natural sign. So I started to doubt again. I wanted one more sign. So I asked Him the next time, the next night, if it's His will, just one more test. Allow me to place the fleece on the floor of the wine press one more time, and in the morning, if the fleece is dry and the floor is wet, then I'll know it is Your will. And that's what I did. I went to bed. I got up the next morning. Guess what I saw? The fleece was dry, and the floor glistened with the dew of the night. There was not a drop of moisture in that fleece, and the floor was slick with moisture from the dew. So there was no doubt in my mind now that this was God's will. We had 32,000 men, but we also had God at our back. God was going to be with us. It could be done. It was a respectable force when you had the force of God with you. I could do it. I could lead these men to victory over the Midianites, and they only outnumbered us 4-1. It could be done. We were the men of Israel. We were bold and courageous and able to stand against the pagans and defeat them. My ancestors defeated the men of Jericho. They blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. I knew this story from my youth up. I knew that God was behind us. But you're not going to believe what God told me. What do you think God told me after the sign of the fleece? He said, "Gideon, you still have too many men." That was hard to take. God said that even outnumbered 4-1, we would become proud and think that we did it all by ourselves. And I realized He is probably right. We like being proud of our great Israel army. And we would probably end up boasting about how strong we were. And we probably wouldn't give God the glory. God was right. We needed to send some more men home. And God said, "Tell the men that whoever is afraid, they may go home to their tribes." And I thought, well, my men are mighty. Maybe a few of them will go home. That's not so bad. I'll just tell them to go home. These men were known for courage and strength. And their anger with the Midianites, they would stay. They would overcome any fear they had. We wouldn't hardly miss the ones that left. So I told the men, "Anybody that wants to go home can go home." And you know what happened? 2/3 of them went home. 22,000 men folded up their tents and left. I only had 10,000 remaining. So now we're outnumbered 10-1. But still, this was more men than I had ever led in the battle before. I had never led a nation into battle. It could still be done. We had God's help. God would help us in the battle against our enemies. But then God spoke to me one more time. That's right, the same message again. The same thing. Still too many men. 10,000 was still too many men. He said, "Gideon, you still have too many men. If you were to win with such a force, Israel might be tempted to believe they'd won against Midian by the force of their own arms rather than by the power of my arm." And so he told me to take my army down to the banks of the river and observe them as they drank from its streams. God had another plan to find the very best of my diminishing army. Most of the men knelt down by the bank of the river and drank straight from the stream. A few others brought the water to their mouths with their hands. And those are the ones I were to take with me. God had this plan. He was going to use this as a test. And wouldn't you know it? Not the majority drank from their hands. 9,700 men knelt down and drank from the water directly. Only 300 men drank from their hand. You know, when I was watching my men drink from the water and knowing this was a test of God, I thought about all the lessons I had learned about the generations before us, the lessons my father and grandfather had told me. God always seemed to use water in His ways of dealing with our forefathers. The thought kind of came to me. Noah was saved in the ark by water, him and his household. Rebecca drew water in an answer to a prayer for a wife of Isaac. It was a test for Rebecca to see if she was the right one. Jacob met his wife Rachel at the well when he watered her flock. Moses was saved by water in the Nile. And my people were saved going through the water of the Red Sea. And we passed through the Jordan to this promised land when we crossed over with Joshua. And now God had my men being tested, going down to the river to see who was fit to conquer the Midianites. I wonder what other ways God will use water as a symbolic test in His kingdom. 300 men I had left. It was these few that God said I would take into battle against the hordes of the Midians. And I sent the rest of the men home. 9,700 men I sent home. I was suddenly very afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? Facing thousands, tens of thousands of armed men with only a force of 300, it seemed to be sure a way to bring defeat and disaster upon myself and my people. The only possible outcome seemed to be slaughter and death. And so I was very afraid. But God knew this. God knew that I was becoming afraid. And so He said to me, He spoke to me again, "Gideon, if you are afraid," and I was, "take your servant Purah with you and carefully make your way to the edge of the Midianite camp and listen to the conversation of some of the men there. And I will give you the courage you need for the battle." So my assistant, Purah, and I crept down to the outpost of the enemy camp. And when we arrived, I overheard two men talking. One spoke of a dream he had had. He had seen a huge, round loaf of barley bread roll down into camp, into this valley of Jezreel, and crash into a tent and overturned it and caused it to collapse. And the other man, would you believe it, responded, "This can be nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, of the nation of Israel. Their God has delivered Midian into the entire camp, into their hands." That's how he interpreted that dream. They knew my name. He knew the name of my father and the nation that I represented. Here I was, this flea on the back of a dog, the least of the tribes of Israel, and this man knew my name. He believed that we would conquer them. I was amazed. Not the only way that this man in the enemy camp would have known such things was if God had made it known to him. It was then that I knew that God would grant us the victory over our enemies. And I bowed my head and I worshiped God right then and there. Quietly, Pure and I made our way back to camp, to our tents, and when we arrived, I cried, "Get up, get up, God has delivered Midian into our hands." I quickly divided our men into three companies and gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar to cover their torches. Then I explained to them where they should position their men around the camp of our enemies and sent them to their places. When it seemed that our men were properly positioned, I blew my horn, and as one man, our army broke their jars to reveal their torches and blew their trumpets. If you can imagine the chaos that ensued, let me tell you, it was amazing. The night was lit up with the blaze of torches, and our trumpets spoke with the judgment of God upon the camp of Midian. And all of our men shouted, "A sword for Jehovah and for Gideon." It was such an overwhelming sight and such a thunderous sound that the camp of the Midianites erupted in fear as each man ran from their tent, grabbed their swords, and in their confusion, if you could imagine the confusion, they believed that they were in the midst, that we were in the midst of their camp, and they began turning their swords on one another. The slaughter that night was terrible for them. Those that survived cried as they fled from the valley, and we chased them all the way out of our land, and we even managed to capture two of their evil leaders, and we killed them. And the Midianites never returned to bother us again. That night changed me. It was on that night that I realized all that God had meant to teach me in this sequence of events. I had learned that I was being called by a God who wanted my total allegiance. He didn't want me to doubt. He said I was a valiant warrior, and He meant it. He was a God who would not tolerate any other God or any other treasure to stand between myself and Him. He had put that on the tablets of stone that He gave to Moses. He will have no other gods before Him, and He meant it. If I was to be used by God, I needed to destroy and remove from my life anything that would compete for His affections, or my affection for Him. But I also learned that the God I came to serve was a powerful God. He was a God who was capable of consuming an entire offering from the flames of a rock. A God who could protect me from the anger of my neighbors. A God who could speak to me by my own personal fleeces on the floor of the threshing floor and by the dreams of my enemies. He was a God who could destroy a mighty army with a force of only 300 men. And there's no way we could brag about it being of our own doing. There was no doubt that God won that battle for us. That is the God that I serve. A God who would stand beside me and protect me in times of trouble. A God who could bring strength to my life and peace to my heart. I was asked to come today to share this account with you because you can also serve this same God. He has something great in mind for all of us. We are all warriors in His great army, to some degree or another. These lessons that I went through are being recorded by our scribes and record keepers, so many generations from now, they can learn and have hope. That was Gideon recounting what happened to him. And I would say that he didn't have any idea what was going to happen for generations to come. He didn't know that God's own Son would die on the cross and His blood would cleanse our sins. He didn't know that God would once more use water to test those that want to follow Him into battle, to test them to see if they are willing to let Jesus' blood work its power. So my question this morning is, do you have that kind of peace in your life today that Gideon had? Do you know the power of God in your life that can give you courage and strength? Do you have the kind of peace that only God can give? If not, that's our invitation this morning. You can have this same kind of peace if you would come and make Him your Savior this morning.